Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, folks, we'll get started here in just a second. But first, this word from Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God, we have an exciting new client, Literati.
Oh!
It's the number one book club for kids.
Oh, yeah.
I had to do some digging to find people young enough, but my ex just had a baby.
My nephews. 3 and 7 years old.
So perfect. We sent it to both of them. We're going to get reviews. It is for ages 0 to 12.
Yeah.
Right? Libraries, schools, bookstores are all closed.
Yeah.
Right? Literati has you covered with something truly unique. This subscription book club for kids was founded by two women to make it easy to find interesting books delivered right to your doorstep. No more scrolling online trying to find that perfect book for your child or to give as a gift. Each Literati box contains 5 books based on a theme with exclusive original art, personalized note to your child. What kid doesn't love receiving something in the mail? Home delivery, super important right now. And with their curated selection, only keep your favorites. Send the rest back for free for a limited time. Try it with Travis's nephews. Go to Literati.com/Stephanie for 25% off your first 2 orders. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go to Literati.com/Stephanie, 25% off your first 2 orders. That's Literati.com/Stephanie. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you, Stephanie. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, boys. Let's stop in here for a second. I'm a little parched from the jog.
Sir, we've only been jogging for 3 blocks. Besides, Mrs. Clint asked us not to let you into any more fast food places.
Well, I just want to mingle with the American people, talk with some real folks, maybe get a Diet Coke or something.
All right, fine. But please, don't tell Mrs. Clinton.
Jim, let me tell you something. There's going to be a whole bunch of things we don't tell Mrs. Clinton. Fast food is the least of our worries, okay, buddy?
Oh, my God, it's Bill Clinton!
Oh, my God.
Hey, don't... Do you favor the decision to send military forces to Somalia?
That's a good question. Yes, I do. Let me tell you why. See, right now, we're sending food to Somalia, but it's not getting to the people who need it because it's being intercepted by warlords. And it's not just us. It's other countries, too. Like, your McNugget is released from Great Britain to Somalia, intercepted by warlords. This guy's filet of fish sandwich, aid from Italy, warlord.
Bob Zeska.
Hello, Zeska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Zeska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 30, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,197 of the Trump crisis. Was that T-Rex blowing his nose?
Yes. We're actually doing rails of cocaine over here.
You too? Yeah.
That's what I thought. 188 days into the 2020 presidential election and 5 seconds since T-Rex was doing lines of coke. All right. Speaking of which, let's bring him in, the Goth Ninjas. Here we go. All right. It is T-Rex David Ferguson and his Tony Montana-sized pile of cocaine from the T-Rex Report podcast. Patreon.com/T-Rex Report. Also, Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast. From-the-bunker.com is the website address. Also at sexyliberal.com. where you should be supporting all your favorite sexy liberal programs. In fact, big announcement, the Unprecedented Podcast with Cliff Schechter and John Aravosis is now part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. So awesome. I'm so glad to hear that John and Cliff have joined up. Oh, my God. You know what? Without further ado, before we dive into everything, I got to play this from Rocky Mountain Mike. This is so awesome. Oh, my God. Listen to this.
There comes a time when we need to go bowling, when our hair has just got to be cut. There are people dying, and we just don't give a shit. Oh, and it's time to get out there and bitch. We can't go on pretending day by day that we can't live without NASCAR.
We are all having sex within our family.
That explains why we're in the streets. We are the Terps. We are the Skeeters. We are the ones who voted for this mess, and we'll keep breeding. There's a choice we're making. We're risking all your lives. It's true, we're just a bunch of vectors, just wait and see.
We are the Derps. I love it so much.
Well, just look at our guns. We'll just shoot that virus down.
Yeah, we flunked high school biology. As God has shown us, we have no brains in our heads. And so we all are standing hand in hand. We are the Derps.
Sing along at home.
We are the Skeeters. We are the ones who haven't got a clue. We don't like reading. There's a choice we're making. To hell with you and your lies. It's true that understanding science are.
I was mostly dumb all day.
What's that? What did you say?
I was mostly dumb all day.
Oh, man, it's Rocky Mountain Mike, Mary in Ann Arbor, We Are the Derps. Oh, that was classic. Classic, classic, classic. They're all, you know, of course they need a theme song. They need their own anthem, right? I don't know if they're going to like that one in particular, though. It's just too great. Thank you to both Mike and Mary for that one. I guess this is the best place to start, even though it's maybe some of the worst news so far, is another 3.8 million people filed for unemployment benefits in the week ending April 25th. That was last week. That's 30 million Americans out of work. The unemployment rate based on those unemployment benefit filings is 22%.
We're
22.
Just shy of Great Depression.
Yeah, yeah. And see, I feel like there's an opportunity here to fix that while we continue to stay at home. Again, it's not the either-or scenario. There is a third solution that we can start job retraining. We can start paying people to do things online, public works projects, infrastructure, so on. These are things that can be done, but which will not be done because we have incompetent Republicans running the show right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because our president is basically a lukewarm bucket of crotch sweat.
Ooh, that's lukewarm bucket of crotch sweat wins.
Yes, that's right. Maybe that's the title for today's show.
That's the title. It's got to be.
All right. And also, by the way, we've also reached bagel status. That is to say recessionary status. These are the final numbers. The U.S. economy shrank 1.2% in the first quarter of 2020, or 4.8% on an annual rate of decline. This is according to
the Commerce Department.
Yeah, this is not quite the lowest point from the Great Recession as far as GDP goes, but this is just the first quarter. This is just getting started. That's January, February, March. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, things continue to get worse out there. So as a consequence of all of that, the GDP is taking a shit. But again, logical solution here. Pump another couple $1 trillion into the economy, and then we'll worry about the deficit and debt after this is all over. But in the meantime, I don't see any other alternative. Do either of you? It just seems to me that it's obvious the solution here, and it's staring us right in the face, and yet we still can't go there.
Or we can start selling our own limbs for meat.
It's only a matter of time before Trump suggests that, right?
I mean, I've got two arms.
Yeah.
They're very small.
I mean, last week he was talking about injecting sunlight somehow into your lungs, presumably. So why not? At some point, he's going to say, look, I need my hamburgers. So start cutting off one of your limbs so I can have my McDonald's hamburgers. And so that's probably going to be his motivation for all of that.
Well, you know, he finally evoked the Defense Production Act
to
keep the hamburgers coming.
Right.
Because like, he wouldn't do it for PPE. He wouldn't do it for testing. He wouldn't but oh, man, when it comes time to stop the meat.
Yeah.
It's like he's like programmed to just destroy the environment and anything good and,
that's right.
and healthy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, meanwhile, Jared Kushner called the coronavirus a great success story.
With 61,547 deaths so far as of this moment in time.
Oh, my God.
Right. Remember when 60,000 was our ceiling? When Fauci said that if we do everything right, we can keep it down to 60,000. And now it's not even May.
That's right.
We're going to be at 62,000 by the end of today.
Mm-hmm. I think.
We will have surpassed Vietnam numbers just in April, between April 1 and today.
God. Oh, my God. It's as if they're writing commercials for the Democrats.
And other countries, when they are giving money and to their companies, you know, industries, those industries have to keep their people on payroll.
Yeah.
At least 75% of what their normal paychecks would be at minimum, or they don't get any money. And they have to also pay taxes in that country, high cruise lines.
Yeah.
Boeing was already going under without this, so F them. Sorry.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah, F you.
F you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you. And so...
I was like using Jody drop-ins while Jody is on the show, so it's...
I like hearing myself back.
F you.
F you.
Jody telling Jody to F you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, F you to F. You're telling me to F off. Okay. Whatever, Jody.
F you.
But I mean, it's just how we're doing it is so fucked up. And then McConnell wanting to save industry and certain companies from liability should, say, a meatpacking plant reopen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not give people PPE or something to protect themselves or have them 6 feet away.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
The thing is, though, and this is something that's promising from my state, you know, the governor reopened the state and nobody came.
Yeah.
True.
Right. Like, a lot of places have just opted to stay closed. If you read, there's an article in The Atlantic by a woman named Amanda Mull that called, Georgia's. Now I can't remember the title, of course, but it's like Georgia's Art of Self-Sacrifice or something. Human sacrifice. Georgia's Experiment in Human Sacrifice. It's like, how many bodies will it take to bring the economy back to life?
Yeah.
But a lot of people are just like, you know, the people aren't going to come back to the restaurant. We're not opening.
Right.
So. Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter if the restaurant's open again. If people feel like they're going to get sick by walking in there, they're not going to go. Let's reopen prematurely so no one's going to show up anyway. That's just immensely dumb.
All the millionaires are like, you peasants get back to work. You know, our governor is, you know, a millionaire, and they're all, and it's like the peasants are kind of like, you know, not really super willing to put my body on the line for your ideology.
Yeah, exactly.
Your bottom line.
Who could have guessed that Brian Kemp was going to be even dumber than Donald Trump? He's just a colossal.
Jesus Christ. Well, did you hear about the driving test? This is the latest.
I heard
from
about
the
this
Brian
this
Kemp's
morning.
Office.
Oh my God!
They have suspended the actual driving requirement for to get your driver's license.
And this is in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Yes, where people were already amazing drivers to begin with.
Jesus Christ.
The only conclusion I can draw from this is that my governor's number one policy aide right now is a poo flinging monkey throwing things at a dartboard, you know? Like, let's just pass a law. Like, what's the most random fucking thing we could possibly do? I don't know. Let's actually, like, take kids on guided tours of hospitals now or something, you know? Like,
just so dumb. I mean,
and they're relying
on it. That brings us to Mike Pence at the fucking Mayo Clinic with no mask on.
That one. Yeah.
This is, you know, that was, I hit the wall on Monday for a minute. When I saw those pictures, I was like, you know what? Humanity deserves to die.
Yep.
Like, if the best we can do is these arrogant man babies to try to respond to the most existential threat to humanity in a millennium.
Yeah.
we're just, we're, you know, this, our time is up.
It's well,
okay, you know,
right,
we
right.
had a well, good turn. I mean, the species.
The problem with that is, of course, the Mayo Clinic said that Pence was told
of
the policy that you have to wear a mask inside the Mayo Clinic before beginning his visit. Then Karen Pence told Fox and Friends today that Pence was not made aware of the Mayo Clinic mask policy.
No, that's bullshit. So there are giant signs on the doors that said no one without a mask is allowed beyond this point.
Yeah, so the accusation is the Mayo Clinic is fake news. I mean, that's basically what they're saying here. Oh, I mean, again, everyone is wrong except the most colossal fucking liar in the history of American politics. That's what they're expecting their people to believe. And the shame of it is, there are people who actually believe it. I mean, it's the most staggering aspect of this entire presidency. I mean, listen to this. Well, I don't actually have the clip, but listen to my voice telling you about what happened today in the White House. Because as you know, Donald Trump was doing his daily Trump shows, and then he discovered, oh, shit, they're not really helping me in the polls. Right. They're actually hurting me. Or at least that's what he's being told by whoever has a brain in their head in the White House. There must be someone in there that has an actual functioning bit of gray matter in their skulls.
Ooh, I have a story you're going to love.
Well, they told Trump, they said, there's no way you should keep doing these Trump shows. So instead, he's just been doing multiple press availabilities every fucking day, whether it's in the Oval Office or whether it's out in the Rose Garden or wherever. He's still taking press questions because he's an addict. So today, Jim Acosta from CNN asked Donald Trump in the Oval Office, you say you had broken tests from Obama. The coronavirus is a new virus, so how could the tests be broken from, you know, 2017?
Finally.
Yeah, exactly. So Trump said, we have broken tests. We had tests that were obsolete. We had tests that didn't take care of people. That was his stupid fucking lie. I mean, just so obvious. And then he said, he started to attack Obama for H1N1 once again, did his little tangent about how Joe Biden once said N1, H1, you know, because Donald Trump never fucks anything up verbally, of course. He obviously went off on that little thing and then circled back, as he usually does, to what he was originally saying, which is that Obama's approval rating for response to H1N1, he had terrible poll numbers, the worst poll numbers in the history of America, he was saying. And you know what Obama's poll numbers were? I looked it up. He averaged 67% approval of his response to H1N1 in 2009. That's how well Obama actually did.
Yep.
But of course, Trump is just making shit up. Wholesale. I don't care if it factually makes any sense whatsoever. Those tests that Obama left for us, they were defective because they wouldn't accurately weed out COVID-19, which we just heard about four months ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Insane. And there are millions of people out there going, yeah, exactly right, Mr. President. So, my God, don't listen to those experts. Everyone's a liar except you. By the way, that's my official voice for any Trump supporter now. Oh, yes. So great.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
You sound like Corky from Waiting for Guffman.
You're bastard people is what you are.
Bastard. You're bastard people. I hate your ass face.
The thing about testing, to me at this point, it just feels like it's very Soviet. You know, you can't count the cases you don't test.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
So they're dragging their feet on testing because they don't want the numbers out there that, I mean, you know, we look at the whole cruise ship thing from back months ago when he was like, I don't want to let those people come on shore because it'll raise our numbers.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The amount of shit that gets flushed down the memory hole in all of this. I mean, just take the COVID-19 crisis alone. The amount of things that he has said that have just been flushed away that people don't even remember anymore because of everything else that comes out on a day-to-day basis. I mean, there is no way other than for the existence of the flushing in the memory hole that Donald Trump should be
the
15 anywhere.
Flushes of the memory hole.
Exactly. The lack of toilet paper as we flush down the memory hole. The thing is, he should be losing so badly to Joe Biden right now. I mean, it shouldn't even be close. I mean, we've got, what, a 10-point spread right now in the polls? And don't fucking get happy. But it should be more than that. It should be 20 points. It should be 25 points. But they just have so cornered the market on propaganda, on disinformation, on just a bunch of morons running around thinking they know, like amateur statisticians and amateur epidemiologists all over Facebook and Twitter, confounding the amount of bullshit that is out there to backstop Donald Trump.
A friend of mine was just losing it on his wall the other day. He was like, yes, your Google search is more valid than my PhD in epidemiology.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, I had to send another note to Tom Nichols the other day. Again, say what you will about Tom, but oh my God, the death of expertise. Did he nail this period of time with that book? I mean, that is one of the must-read books of this era, right up there with Malcolm Nance's books and so on. This is something that just put its finger on the pulse of what is wrong with America right now, because it's really just the dummies and the dilettantes and the suckers who are going to destroy this country. And by the way, dummies, dilettantes, and suckers might actually be the title of the show. I'm just saying.
Yep.
All right. So I don't know where I was going with that. Doesn't really matter. But
you know, there is one country on earth that's fucking us up worse than we are. And it's Russia.
Yeah.
There's a piece on the Washington Post in the last couple of days by Michael Carpenter about how Putin has just completely screwed the pooch on this one. At first, he screwed the pooch by trying to go, like, do the limbo on oil with the Saudis. That, like, completely bit him on the ass. And then now they were just in complete denial, which is that's the way that, you know, blustering man babies handle real crisis. And this is where, like, the limitations of the blustering man baby are really apparent when science intervenes in an aggressive way like this.
The thing with Russia right now is Vladimir Putin needs to be afraid, very, very afraid, because don't forget, they are a petrol nation. They are all about oil. And oil
their entire
is,
economy on it.
Exactly. Yep. As we've seen, the oil prices are in the shitter right now.
Russia is losing money if we're under $40 a barrel.
Absolutely. So that's stacked up against Vladimir Putin. On top of that, his response to the COVID-19 crisis has been opaque, to say the least. We don't know exactly what's going on there because of the way.
Again, you can't count tests you don't take. You know, like cases you don't test, you can't count in numbers. Yes, we have a billion pneumonia deaths.
So here's something that I've been beating to death lately. It's just one of those things.
Besides
where
your junk, never mind.
Oh my.
I don't know. Yes. I don't ever masturbate. How dare you accuse me?
Joking. Never procrastinated in your life. Never delayed editing for 30 minutes just because you were like, you know, it's porn time.
That is one of the greatest things you have ever invented, is the portmanteau of procrastinate and masturbate. Procrasturbation is so great.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've been focused on lately is, why hasn't Trump, in the midst of praising himself for being number one on Facebook or having great ratings or having the best hair and the most gigantic hands or whatever the fuck he's saying during the Trump show, in the midst of all of that, never once has he had a moment of silence for now 61,000 dead Americans. Not one. Mm-hmm. Not one for the victims. So the other day he was asked the following question. You've spoken about your friend who passed away. I was wondering if you have spoken to the families of anyone else who has lost a loved one to COVID-19. If there's any particular stories that have affected you. And Trump said this. Talk about word salad. Well, I have. I have many people. I know many stories. I've spoken to three, maybe, I guess, four families unrelated to me.
He like actually spoke to someone besides Ivanka and Jared, and he's so proud of himself.
Four
families.
It's like
the first poopy in the toilet, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, we have what, over a million cases in the United States, 60,000 plus deaths right now. Donald Trump says he's spoken to four families, and he's probably lying about that. I mean, not even probably. He is lying about that. Until I actually see the call log and hear from the families, I'm just going to assume he's lying. That's all all we can do. We find out that young people do extraordinarily well. That's why I think we can start thinking about schools. But of course, we're ending the school season. So, you know, it would be probably you'd be back. You wouldn't be back for too long. I noticed where Purdue University, a great school in a great state, wants to open and have students come in. I think that's correct. Some colleges, I think I saw Harvard wants to have students come back in the fall. I would hope they'd have students. This is a question about people who have died, and somehow he's done this neck-snapping pivot to Purdue University and sending kids back to school.
Fuck them.
Oh, my God. This guy is a sociopath. Again, if Democrats would stop flogging each other, for God's sake, and actually focus on winning this election, there would be no chance that he could ever possibly win. This is the thought that keeps circulating through my head. Like, if only we would stop with the circular firing squad on our side, we could actually focus our attention on this fucking unmitigated maniac in the Oval Office right now and get him out of office and then focus on the other shit after that's done. I mean, it seems so obvious.
This burning pile of hair in the Oval Office.
That gets another Pee-wee sounder. All right.
Man.
God. So, yeah, so that's the president's response to 60,000 deaths, which I don't think he even knows. I don't think he knows the actual death toll. I don't think he's being told. I don't think he's been given that information. He's certainly not hearing it on Fox News Channel. And he probably thinks that whatever he hears about it on CNN or MSNBC on his, whatever it is, 12 TiVos that he sits and, you know, works really hard at. Mm-hmm. I don't think he even believes that it's real news when he hears it from those other networks. So there's the other wrinkle to all of that. Meanwhile, you want some good news before we take a short break? How about this? The FDA plans to announce emergency authorization for remdesivir. Is that the pronunciation?
Yeah, I think
remdesivir?
That's something like that.
It's an antiviral, right?
Yeah, it's an antiviral drug.
Yeah, after a federal trial.
Well, it inhibits a specific amino acid that the virus uses to... Anyway, go on.
Yeah,
no, and that's what... Those are the drugs we should be testing, are antiviral drugs, because this is a virus.
Yeah, so you were saying there's a certain amino acid inside the coronavirus
that
it targets?
Right, that it uses to bind onto our... I don't know I'm getting way out over my skis here if I'm talking about microbiology. So let me just say that I think it shortens recovery time considerably is the deal. It's like it takes people from being very sick. But there's also, I think, results contradictory. Other studies say no effect whatsoever. I'm not going to hang too much hope on this particular set of science.
Patients given remdesivir recovered 31% faster than those given placebo. Fauci hailed the results as highly significant, but added that while the result doesn't seem like a knockout, it was a strong proof of concept. He cautioned, however, that the results of the study overseen by his agency, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, still needs to be peer-reviewed. However, a separate study of remdesivir released today concluded that the drug failed to improve patients' condition or reduce the pathogen's presence in the bloodstream compared with placebo. Oh, shit. Mm. So I said it was good news. Doesn't
What's
seem
going
like
on
such good news
with all
now.
The drugs that are new now, they all sound like characters from Game of Thrones. Lady remdesivir. You know, it's presented to the War Council, you know. Lord Zyrizi.
Oh, man. So Fauci also warned that a second round of coronavirus is, quote unquote,
inevitable.
Inevitable. He added that we have to put into place all of the countermeasures to address the pandemic. But if we don't do that successfully, we could be in for a bad fall and a bad winter. If states begin lifting restrictions too early, Fauci said the country could see a rebound of the virus that would, quote, get us right back in the same boat that we were a few weeks ago. And there's not going to be anything done about that. We are absolutely going to see. I mean, inevitable, there's no wiggle room in the word inevitable. We are going to see this. It's being partially precipitated by relaxing all the stay-at-home orders and people like Brian Kemp and Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis sending people back out to the beaches and to restaurants and to bowling alleys for some reason prematurely is only going to exacerbate all of this. So... hunker down. Keep trolling Amazon for paper towels and toilet paper like I've been doing.
Well, here's the thing, though. Amazon is... there's the whole thing ethical. I mean, a whole ethical issue right now with Amazon because its workers aren't getting adequate hazard pay or PPE, and they're, you know, striking, and the media is just kind of not really paying a whole lot of attention to that.
Yeah.
Right.
But...
Well, yeah. I mean,
I've always felt a little conflicted about ordering from Amazon, but especially not right now. Nothing to say against your Amazon link, which is on your homepage at bobseska.com.
Yeah, thank you.
Which, if you shop through there, Bob will actually get a tiny percentage of your sales. But
yes. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, more fantastic news about the plague and the economic collapse and. Fun, lots of fun things.
Fun.
All right, back after these words.
Oh my God, we have an exciting new client, Literati.
Oh!
It's the number one book club for kids.
Oh yeah.
I had to do some digging to find people young enough, but my ex just had a baby.
My nephews. 3 and 7 years old.
So perfect. We sent it to both of them. We're going to get reviews. It is for ages 0 to 12.
Yeah.
Right? And libraries, schools, bookstores are all closed.
Yeah.
Right? Literati has you covered with something truly unique. This subscription book club for kids was founded by two women to make it easy to find interesting books delivered right to your doorstep. No more scrolling online trying to find that perfect book for your child or to give as a gift. Each Literati box contains 5 books based on a theme with exclusive original art, personalized note to your child. What kid doesn't love receiving something in the mail? Home delivery, super important right now. And with their curated selection, only keep your favorites. Send the rest back for free for a limited time. Try it with Travis's nephews. Go to Literati.com/Stephanie for 25% off your first 2 orders. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go to Literati.com/Stephanie, 25% off your first 2 orders. That's Literati.com/Stephanie. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bob Seska Show.
Take my hand, walk with me through the shade of evergreen. Climb the hills, rest our feet, watch the sun fade by the creek. There's no other place I'd rather be. My last summer love, days with you ain't long enough. But as the leaves start to fall, will you remember me at all? 'Cause there's no other place I'd rather be.
I would say this is an instant classic. This is a recording artist named Logan Piercy, and the song is called Next to Me. Brand new, it's out tomorrow. So you want to go to bobseska.com, click the podcast page for today's episode, and download it. Support all of our indie bands, all of our indie musicians. We got a brand new indie music countdown coming up this weekend on Sunday. All the songs from April played in full with some of my DJ banter in between. Also on Saturday night, my brother Jim is doing another Front Porch concert on Facebook. He did it last weekend. Yeah, cool. He did it last Saturday. It was a couple hours playing covers and lots of great songs on his front porch for a small crowd of socially distanced people outside and for thousands of people on Facebook, literally. So,
Jim!
Follow Jim at Facebook. You just search for his name. His first name's Jim. Did I mention Jim?
Jim!
But his name is Jim?
Jim!
And you probably can guess his last name, so there you go. Okay, moving along here. Oh, by the way, if you want to submit your songs, bobseska.com/music. Thank you. Trump's cronies are getting a bunch of small business loans via the PPP program. An analysis shows 3 companies with ties to the Trump administration received a total of $18.3 million. Jesus. Under the program, Stephanie Miller can't get a small business loan, meanwhile. Another recipient received a loan from a bank that previously employed its board's chairwoman. 4 companies received more than $10 million maximum by applying for multiple loans through subsidiaries. These fuckers. Speaking of bad corporate practices, T-Rex, there you go. 4 other companies receiving more than $20 million in aggregate have wealthy investor board members in common. So you got a lot of cronyism going on here. It's all Trump. It's Trump just enriching his friends, enriching himself. I'm sure somewhere along the line, he's going to try to get his teeny tiny stubby fingers on some of this money, too. He claims that he won't, but of course, he's probably lying. And then there's also this other thing that's kind of a side story where Junior and the other Red Hats are trying to label Joe Biden as being, I think, Beijing Biden. I think that's the new nickname. Yeah. They're calling Joe Biden. They're trying to link Joe Biden to China. because, of course, there's no linkage between Trump and China. Of course there isn't, except for, you know, the Trump Organization's offices in Shanghai, the I don't know how many different trademarks that Ivanka has received in China. There's the fact that one of the top central banks, one of the top government banks in China, has rented an entire floor on Trump Tower and pays $2 million a month in rent to the Trump Organization. But of course, it's Beijing Biden.
China.
Oh my God, China. These people are just utterly shameless. So, and by the way, I just wanted to mention with regard to Joe Biden, we're going to be talking about Tara Reid on the Postmortem Show once again. So if you want to hear what we have to say about the latest on that story, go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or just BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for $5 a month and you can hear everything we have to say about all that. Okay.
Your favorite guy, Brad Parscale, was like the president.
Oh, yeah.
Him out last weekend and just apparently was like, I'm going to sue you because my poll numbers are falling.
Yes, that is an amazing story. I'm so glad you brought that up. I had planned to talk about that today anyway, but I mean, let's talk about that now because what we're looking
at. It's a Schadenfreude Sunday.
It's so awesome. I'm so glad that Donald Trump made Brad Parscale shit his pants the other day. Because if I were Brad Parscale in that scenario, I would have shit my pants. The problem is that I think this is how Donald Trump is coercing a lot of the people around him to stay in line. We've been kind of hypothesizing, what is it that keeps all of these people from just running to the next nearest microphone and going, he's fucking crazy. He's insane. And I have evidence that he's crazy. But that's not happening. And so why isn't that happening? And I think it's because he's threatening to bury them in legal fees in the context of lawsuits. And whether that's in the context of enforcing his non-disclosure agreements or whether that's just, you're a terrible person, so I'm going to sue you for being bad, very bad. So I don't know. I don't know which one it is. But this kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That he's keeping people in line by threatening
the lawsuit. It's like a horrible jellyfish or something, you know, with tentacles everywhere, stuck to everything, just sticky, just venomous, kind of poisoned. I don't know.
Well, remember what Glenn Greenwald used to do as a lawyer. He used to, when he was faced with an opponent in some sort of lawsuit, the idea was to bury that opponent in legal fees and paperwork and make his opponents go broke in the process of trying to defend themselves. It wasn't even about winning the case. And Donald Trump is playing the same nefarious game. He doesn't care whether he wins. I mean, like, I don't even know. I think he countersued. Remember the story about how he countersued Deutsche Bank when Deutsche Bank sued him for
loaning him money.
Yeah, for loaning him money. And he was unable to pay it. So he said that, well, I'm going to sue you, Deutsche Bank, because you were part of the problem.
You didn't do due diligence.
Well, no, it was that they were a bank during the Great Recession. And they helped precipitate, therefore, the Great Recession, which made it impossible for Donald Trump to repay the loan. So he was suing them for preventing him from being able to repay the loan. That was his lawsuit. And I don't know if he won or not. It didn't really even matter because maybe there was some sort of settlement after he just kept hitting them with legal fees and so on. I have no idea how that turned out, but it's possible that that was kind of his end game and all of that too. But this is a standard a dick move by a lot of different people who just want to watch the world burn, who just want to torture people. And that's certainly Donald Trump's MO in all of this. And again, I think they made up after the fact. I think Trump and Brad Parscale kissed and made up after. And so he's not necessarily in any danger. But to me, if you're Brad Parscale, are you motivated to do a better job or just kind of coast based on the fact that your boss threatened not only to fire you, but then to fire you and sue you?
I can't put myself in the mindset to be anyone who would actually work for that fucker. You know, and I at this point, I mean, how can we guess the motivations of Brad Parscale, this Rasputin looking, you know, maladroit who happened to game the internet in a proper fashion to get this joker in office in 2016? But I mean, why would he not work to get this asshole in office? Because it seems mostly they're motivated by hatred of everyone who's not them.
Well, this story is just utterly fascinating. Trump saw some of the best approval ratings of his presidency during the early weeks of the crisis. Aides highlighted the growing political cost of the crisis and the unforced errors by Trump in his freewheeling press briefings. Trump reacted with defiance, incredulous that he could be losing to someone he's viewed as a weak candidate. Trump said, according to this Huffington Post write-up about it, or this is an AP piece in the Huffington Post, "I am not fucking losing to Joe Biden," Trump said. He repeated in a series of heated conference calls with his top campaign officials. So there were other people on this call. Right. It was Brad Parscale. It was RNC chair Ronna McDaniel. It was Jared Kushner and other aides were on the call. So this is probably why this shit leaks out, because he's doing these conference calls. He doesn't care. And I wonder if he's just a side note. I wonder if he's still using his unsecured cell phone. That's something
it's
else
possible.
Again, another thing in the memory hole. Like, is he still making phone calls that are clearly being wiretapped by every foreign enemy and frenemy alike? Maybe that's
what
one of the
would ways you really gain
out
from tapping his phone, though? Because he can't. I mean, anything that comes into his head comes out of his mouth. Like, he can't right? think strategically. No. He can't keep a secret. Yeah. He can't even like get his answers straight on the Russia probe or, you know, all the things that you're right, they're down the memory hole. I mean, he stands there and contradicts himself within one, you know, he'll say something and a paragraph later he's arguing against it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just, he's a damaged, horrible, flaming bag of dog poop on the national doorstep.
Oh, yeah. You know, along these lines, Brian Karam was on Stephanie Miller's show this morning.
Yeah, he was. He was great.
Awesome interview. And he mentioned something that he hasn't. I've had Brian Karam on my show a couple of times, and he hasn't mentioned this before, but he actually confirmed to Stephanie that he's seen Trump's hands trembling. And I'm not sure what could possibly cause that. It could be the fact that he drinks 108 Diet Cokes throughout the course of the day. So true. It could be the caffeine, could be something else. But Karam said it
could be the industrial strength Sudafed.
That
it could be,
might be uh-huh. it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Karam said that when you talk with Trump up close and you see him operate up close like that, he said Trump does not look like a well man. And he covers it up quite well because he's got the coiffure. He's got the clown makeup that disguises his actual skin tone. He's got the big suits that he's always seen wearing. So he does a pretty good job in the morning of getting his shit together
of
visually.
Of what? Looking like a bag of dirty socks? I mean, he's never looked well. But he's, I mean, he's
bag of dirty socks. We got a third title.
That's right. If today's show were three shows, we'd have a title for every single one. Yeah, so many
does. Really, I mean, all that effort, it's just like everything that Trump does is bad for Trump, including his hair and makeup. It's just, and his work, I mean, he's all, but he really, he has, I've never thought he looked well.
No,
from
he
the
doesn't.
Moment, I, you know, any up-close picture of him, he looks like processed ham. It's really
he
bad.
He does. Yes,
he's,
right.
He's got his quivering eye bags and the big waddle and just, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his hands actually look like they're carved out of a couple of canned hams. They have that same skin tone. It's like that pinkish, slimy
sweaty
skin. Yes. Oh my God. We almost forgot to talk about this. We got to talk about, holy shit, Jesse Ventura is running for president.
Let's
holy
run this
shit.
We demand the man who speaks his mind.
Darn straight.
Jesse. Ventura.
Darn right.
Not some darn right.
And we have a theme song for it.
I don't play that game.
Jesse.
Thermite paint.
When those other guys were cashing government checks, he was in the Navy getting dirty and wet.
Oh, dirty and wet.
When guys were cashing checks, he was in the Navy getting dirty and wet. That is a...
Jesse.
Nice.
Right. Lennon and McCartney couldn't have come up with a lyric like that, could they? So Jesse Ventura is running for president. And honest to God, I mean, I'm laughing at his stupid fucking theme song here. But
I can see these guys doing the running man into that in the tracksuits.
Yeah, I ain't got time to concede.
Right.
So that'll be his slogan. I ain't got time to concede.
Before we move too far away from him. Yeah. Can we talk about this weird Oscar Mayer thing? That's
well,
going on
I mean,
this
once
weekend?
Once we're done talking about Jesse Ventura, Mr. Rush to the next topic. I was going to say about Jesse Ventura running for president. Honest to God, I don't know whether to have fun with this because my instinct
he might win.
Yes.
Yeah.
My instinct is to have fun with it. My instinct is to make fun of him relentlessly between now and November, provided he ends up getting the Green Party nomination, which is what he's going for. I would just love to wheel out some clips of Chez and I making fun of him from 5 years ago or something like that. I would love to do that. But I'm so concerned.
That's exactly how we got Trump.
Yes!
We kept talking about it.
Exactly.
I mean,
so don't talk about it.
The only thing preventing Jesse Ventura from becoming president, I think, is the fact that he's running as a third-party candidate. But, I mean, right. Stranger things have happened these days. You never fucking know. And, you know, he does have a theme song.
Let's win this thing. We demand a man.
Sorry, I know. I'm going to beat this to death. I assure
you.
There
you are. So. Jesse. Oh, yeah.
And we're gonna end up with President. Don't do it.
We're not saying he should. I'm so conflicted.
Just show us on the map where Uncle Jesse touched you.
I'm gonna have to go to our audience on Patreon in particular and say, what do you think? Do you think I should make fun of Jesse Ventura running for president, or do you think I should just shut the fuck up? Until he goes
straight ahead and keep driving. Yes.
Until he goes away.
Don't make eye contact, for God's sake.
Yes. Don't even. Yeah. Don't look at the train wreck, because the train wreck wins these days. And, you know.
Jesse. Now they'll try to tell you he can't win.
Watch your mouth.
But just vote your conscience and we'll vote him in.
Okay, whatever. And you know what? I am so sick and tired of having to explain to certain people on Twitter about why, if you vote for Justin Amash or Jesse Ventura when you were originally going to vote for Joe Biden, takes votes away from Joe Biden and therefore helps Donald Trump. I mean, how many different ways can we explain this? Do I need to start drawing diagrams? Do we have to get a whiteboard explainer video to explain how vote counting works? Evidently, we do. Because
Stop using Twitter.
Yes, yeah. But it's still a dominating attitude out there. It's a bunch of people think
it's
that
it's a fringe.
It's a
tiny fraction.
I don't know,
people
but
who I mean,
what is the deciding percentage in modern elections these days? Is it any more than 1 or 2%? No, it's about 1 or 2%. All it takes is 1 or 2% of weirdos and hotheads to swing an election from someone competent and sane like Hillary Clinton over to an unmitigated madman. That's all it takes. And my concern is that all it'll take to elect someone like Donald Trump, or to re-elect Donald Trump, is 2 or 3%. Maybe composed of bitchy former Bernie radicals. And I'm not talking about all Bernie voters. Not all Bernie voters. No. Hashtag not all Bernie voters. All it takes is some of them, maybe some Republicans who say, I can't vote for Trump, but I can't vote for Biden, so I'll vote for Amash. And then Donald Trump gets a second term. Suddenly you're throwing out all kinds of great shit because you found one fucking thing that you're focused on, and then that's going to blow the whole election. And then Donald Trump is president for another 4 years. And, you know, who do we...
Don't even say it out loud.
I can't even.
I
know.
Oh, God.
I know. I mean, but it's something that I've been trying to come to terms with. Like, how do I react on the night of November 3rd?
I'm looking into real estate in New Zealand.
Not bad. Hey, bring me with you. Holy shit. I know. I could actually drive one of Lonnie's cars around or something like that if we
something,
all go.
Something, anything. Yeah. We'll all get married. It'll be like we're Mormons and we're just going to all move.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it'll be everyone from
the
show.
You guys are going to love being married to Ben. It's pretty awesome.
Because
as we have
determined, your husband is a walking, talking hug.
That's
what Ben is. Okay, one last break.
Last night he was in the kitchen and he was like singing Funky Town.
Does he have a Puerto Rican accent? Does he have the accent to go with it?
Oh, yeah. You could stand a spoon in his accent.
shit, that's funny.
Oh,
he's like,
man.
Won't you take me to Funky Town? It's just adorable. It's kind of like Agador from the Birdcage.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yep.
All right, on that note, one last break. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit bubblegenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
To get past it, for a second at the station, as a train passes, an image fills my head, and I can taste where my heart is, inside of my mouth, but it's all in my head. I see where we're headed, how it might lead to death, a hard thought to swallow, why I'm choking on it, my breath's running out, daily coping with it, so I take a deep breath, shake out my legs, stretch myself out, fill up with oxygen, focus on love, life, family and friends, fight off this dark fog that never seemed to end. Now I look up, watch as a train passes. Heart is full of hurt, but the path that I decide is to always take a deep breath, continue to live, cause that's just how my life's reality
just
is.
Just wanna tie myself to the rafters, but it's not my way.
Oh, this is fucking great.
The chorus is lit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Holy shit. This is a hip-hop recording artist, Select Few. That's S-E-L... E-K-T, Few, featuring Paradox and Calyx on this track. This is a song called Not My Way from their Solace Lane EP. These guys are from Perth, Australia. And when you listen to the verses, you can really hear the accent. It's so fascinating to hear the Australian accent on a hip-hop song. So great.
It's hard to love and harder to feel pain. Wrapped up inside your mind, just a little bit insane. While your mind's still burning, the world keeps turning.
Yeah, it's so cool. The Australian accent in there. Holy shit. Perth, Australia. Link in the description. The band is called, again, Select Few. I think they're going to end up being number one on the Indie Music Countdown this weekend, just by default. Oh, they're the last song we're playing in April. Because we don't put those songs in the Indie Music Countdown. We don't put the songs in order of preference. We put the songs in order of how they appeared originally on the show. So, like, the first songs you hear in the Indie Music Countdown are the songs from early April, in the case of this month. And then the last songs you'll hear are the ones that we played this week. So, there you go. So, Select Few ends up landing in the number one spot. Okay. Perfect spot for them too, because I love that song. All right, let's move along here. What were we going to talk about? Was there anything?
We're going to talk about this weird picnic thing, this Wieners Out Front deal with Oscar Mayer.
Oh yes, what's going on? What are we going to say about Oscar Mayer?
I just think is it weird? Is it me? Is it weird? They're like, yeah, we're going to do cookouts out front in the yard and wave at our neighbors. And I guess you don't have the kind of trashy neighbors that I have. Like, I mean, it's weird to me. And I just, the 10-year-old in my head can't stop calling it Wieners Out Front.
Oh, so it's not actually called that. It's called something else.
It should be.
What's it really called?
Should.
Oh my God.
It's just like the front porch cookout or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be the seventh or eighth title for today's show. By the way, that's the new sound I'm going to play every time we come up with a name for the show. So anyway. So
how's
yeah,
everyone's hair?
Wieners out front. That's so great. So meanwhile, just a little bit on the Veep stakes, the VP selection, as that moves closer and closer to actually happening. Jim Clyburn said this week that it's not mandatory for Joe Biden to select a black woman as his running mate, but it's probably still going to be Kamala Harris. She's got the best shot at it right now, especially the way that she's still been quite visible all over social media. She's been doing videos. She's been tweeting a lot. She's been visible. And there are a lot of people. There's already a hashtag Biden Harris going around. I mean, so this is something that seems like.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Biden Harris.
Biden Harris. Yeah. And the other thing is, strategically, it helps to have a prosecutor on the ticket, because then while Joe Biden is continuing to cultivate the good guy Joe Biden thing, Kamala Harris as a prosecutor can be relentlessly attacking the Red Hats and Trump and everything like that, deflecting accusations and counterattacking with other things. And so I think that's probably a good idea. It's a nice balance between good guy Joe Biden and pit bull Kamala Harris. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just seems to make I don't know, conceptual sense to me. By the way, for the record, a little something for the Bernie supporters. I am opposed to the cancellation of the New York primary. I don't think, again, just from the basic concept of it, if we're canceling elections, that's just a bad precedent to start setting.
I agree.
And I know it's extraordinarily difficult to carry on a safe election these days, but there's no reason why in a state like New York, you can't just expand the absentee ballot. I mean, I don't even know what the scenario is with mail-in balloting in New York. But,
well, Ohio did this week, so I don't see why New York can't.
Yep, Ohio had their election this week, and I think Andrew Yang has sued the state of New York to get the election to actually take place. So there is at least one lawsuit out there to counteract Cuomo said.
When people are talking about November 3rd being stopped altogether, Trump and Pence will be out of office on January 20th, 2021, when there is no new president. And it would technically be President Patrick Leahy, because everybody that would be up for election in the Senate would also not be reelected. The entire House wouldn't be elected. So therefore, Patrick Leahy would be the majority president pro tem in the Senate, therefore president of the United States.
Wow. Holy shit. But I mean, I don't think
so. They don't want to cancel the election in November, because then we have a Democratic president. Boom. Done. Yeah, End of statement.
I'm really relieved to hear that. I had no idea that that was going to be the process.
Yeah, because the Democrats would then be in the majority of the sitting senators.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and therefore it would be Leahy.
From what I understand.
So the term expires no matter what.
Right.
You've got a replacement in the chamber or not.
Yes. That's in the Constitution.
Exactly. Yeah. If there's nobody in the House elected because the election was canceled in November, and there is no new president or vice president because the election was canceled, and no new senators that were up for reelection. So therefore, because the Democrats had less people up for election this year, there are more of them sitting in the Senate in January, therefore, it would be Patrick Leahy would be then the president of the United States. And anybody in the GOP is going, no, we can't do that.
I can't think of any mechanism that Trump could use to cancel the election or to postpone it or something. Yeah, he can't.
He could try, but we didn't cancel it during the Civil War.
No.
We didn't cancel it in 1918 during that pandemic.
Right.
There is no effing reason we should cancel it now.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, the Civil War 1864 presidential election, that general election, is very educational in terms of what happened in that election. What happened was, obviously, the Confederate States didn't vote because they decided, hey, bye-bye, we're leaving the Union. We're not going to be part of your country anymore. We're going to make our own little fucked up country. And that's what they did. So they didn't get a vote in the 1864 election. And so just the Northern states voted. And as a consequence of that, Abraham Lincoln was reelected. I mean, if the Southern states had voted, participated in all of that, there's a chance that Abraham Lincoln might not have gotten a second term. And might have survived as a result.
Today's conservatives would be like, we want to vote in the national election and secede. And if you don't let us, you're infringing on our rights. Like,
yes, that's right. You know, we are the derps. Yes, exactly. That's a good callback to the Rocky Mountain Mike song parody from the beginning. Yeah, that's everything.
Yeah,
is
you're welcome.
Yeah, everything is so upside down and contradictory with these people. I don't know what the fuck they're doing from moment to moment. It's absolutely staggering. They're protesting the tyranny of the stay-at-home orders. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is declaring himself to have totalitarian powers over everything. So what the fuck is wrong with you, other than the brain worms? It just seems... there's another story here that I'm staring at, too. Governor Larry Hogan, who's the Republican governor of my current state, Maryland, did a Washington Post Live with Muggsy, with Robert Costa. And
I will always be calling him that now.
Yeah. Muggsy needs a few sandwiches. Muggsy needs to have a pizza or a bowl of ice cream or something, because he's looking skinny. Look, he's looking way too skinny. Kimberly and I are always so concerned. Oh, we got to get Muggsy some food. He's you're looking way too skinny. We treat him like he's our little boy whenever he comes on TV. Oh, Muggsy's looking kind of sweaty today. We're very, very weird. Also, marijuana. But so anyway. So Larry Hogan, so get back to Larry Hogan. he was asked whether he was concerned that the federal government would seize the tests and that are going to his state. And of course, he said, yeah, tests are being guarded to prevent them from being stolen by the federal government. The National Guard is guarding Maryland's tests at an undisclosed location. That's what it's come down to. Remember the clip that I played at the top of the show from Saturday Night Live in the late 1990s, I think it was?
Intercepted where, by warlords.
Yeah, intercepted by warlords. Donald Trump is now the warlord. Donald Trump is the one intercepting tests that are going from the people manufacturing the tests to the states. Well, they're being intercepted by warlord Donald Trump and the federal government to the point where the Republican governor of Maryland has to hide the tests and guard them with National Guardsmen to keep the federal government from horking all of his tests. This right here, the fact that Donald Trump is stealing tests before they get to the states who bought the fucking tests is an impeachable offense right there. Whoever is authorizing this needs to be fired. But of course,
and
it just goes
handing him over to like Ron DeSantis or whatever.
Throw this story right down the memory hole once again and flush a couple of times, because that's exactly what's happened to this story. That's we will not hear about this story again in a couple of weeks about how the federal government's stealing tests. It'll just go. It'll just go by the wayside. It doesn't even matter. But Joe Biden does one thing and it's not even a real thing. And then suddenly he has to lose. That's one of the many fucked up things we're facing these days. Talk about that more on the postmortem show coming up. By the way, don't get happy. Speaking of Joe Biden, he's leading Trump by 1 point in Texas.
Whoa.
Texas. Joe Biden is leading by 1 point in Texas. I wish I could celebrate that one.
After that last week, he's just, you know, I could just, like, even the Boomhauers of the world, like, dang old Clorox, putting their clean your leg, it doesn't make no damn sense at all.
Yeah, shit. I would imagine that's going, I would imagine it's older voters who think Joe Biden is a decent man and who will now gladly, you know, vote for Joe Biden instead of the guy who wants them all to die. I mean, Donald Trump wants to know why he's losing support from senior citizens. It's not because Brad Parscale's not pumping enough disinformation into Facebook. He's pumping plenty of disinformation into Facebook. Yeah. It's because Donald Trump and Donald Trump's entire fucking Trumpism movement, the entire Red Hat cult, is saying, and it's Ben Shapiro yesterday. Who cares? If they're 81 years old, they're going to die soon anyway. So whatever. And that was basically what these guys are saying. And so no wonder old people are going, fuck, this isn't what I expected. Suddenly Donald Trump supports death panels. How about that? Meanwhile, the Daily Reuters Ipsos poll, this is again a day-to-day poll. Right now, according to that poll, Joe Biden leads 45% to Trump's 39%.
Wow.
Trump in the 30s at this point in the polls. Don't get happy. God, please do not get complacent, Democrats. This is by no means in the bag. We are still months away. How many days away did I say we were at the top of the show? We got lots of days left.
We're 6 months from the election. We are 8 months from him being out of power.
188 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
In which things can go horribly awry. And they will. It will go horribly awry at some point. You can count on that.
Clearly, since we're on this fucking miserably dark timeline where things just keep spiraling into a darker and darker post-apocalyptic hellscape.
Yeah, that's...
Why wouldn't it get worse?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it will.
I'm serious. The aliens are going to attack in August. That's what's coming.
It's just every day there's something new, something... I mean, it's now permanent silly season. I mean, talk about back before Donald Trump. There was silly season, I don't know, in an election year, general election between, let's say, Iowa and the general election, the actual election day. Now it's just silly season all the time, all year round, no matter what year it is, off year, you know, midterm, general election, doesn't matter. It's always silly season. And it's got to end.
I still can't get past Mike Pence walking through the Mayo Clinic barefaced, like he's handing out ribbons for prize picks.
Oh, apparently he was...
Indiana State Fair. Like, this is not...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, apparently he was wearing a mask today somewhere. Hold, please. Your call is important. At the GM plant manufacturing, where they're making ventilators, he was actually wearing a mask today. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So well, now everyone can see how flat and dead like a catfish his eyes are.
You know what Mike Pence looks like? Mike Pence looks like one of the aliens from Cocoon. If you go and look at the when the aliens are outside of their human skins and they're just those glowing figures, looks like Mike Pence. The other thing is, the reason Mike Pence didn't wear a mask to the Mayo Clinic is because Donald Trump refuses to wear a mask. I'm almost 100% convinced of that. Mike Pence is fearing for his job right now. There are rumors of Nikki Haley replacing him on the ticket. And certainly if Joe Biden nominates a woman to be his running mate, Donald Trump's going to go right there and say, women love me more than Joe Biden. Look at Nikki Haley right here, who I haven't grabbed by the pussy. Yet.
Yet, exactly.
All right.
If Kamala Harris debates Mike Pence, does his wife have to be on stage?
Yeah, probably.
Because he's not allowed to be alone with other women.
Yes, she will have to be sitting next to him.
Yeah. Mother has to be there. That's so creepy. That's so creepy that he calls her mother. His wife. His
mother. Oh my God.
So weird.
Okay. It's Norman Bates. I'm just a normal guy.
You can hear T-Rex's podcast at patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Also Jody Hamilton's podcast at sexyliberal.com. Also at from-the-bunker.com. And everywhere you get your podcasts. Meanwhile, lots of stuff still to come in the Postmortem Show. As soon as this music is done playing, we keep on talking. That is called the Postmortem Show. We put it on our Patreon page, bobsuskashow.com. Subscribe for $5 a month, and you get it twice a week. We'll see you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
F you.